Special education, just get on board.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Sponsored by the TBI, Survivors Network at tbisn.com.
All survivors, all the time. For automatic updates and everything brain injury.
Join now at tbisn.com.
The only all survivor and family network in the world.
You don't need no fancy certification, just get on board.
Listen every night at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern.
And select nights at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Almost 60 shows monthly bringing you unique perspectives and journeys of real lives affected by brain injury.
Sharing their successes and failures, giving you new tools and strategies coping with the effects of brain injury.
And now it is time for another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Found at braininjuryradio.com.
And now it's time for another live episode on the Brain Injury Radio Network.
Good evening from the diminishing downtown Milton studio, Brain Injury Radio. This is Malin Whitaker with Caregiving Suddenly. And the reason for the title of the show is because, as you may know since you're already listening, the phone rings. Someone calls you. There's been a problem. Something's happened. Are they going to make it? Don't know. What hospital? There. You go to see. Everything you know is turned upside down, suddenly. And you're confronted with brain injury for the first time in your life. And the doctors tell you that they're going to try and keep the swelling down. They're not sure how bad it is, and they hope you make it. And you've gone from partner or lover to person who is now in a position of being caregiver. And that's what this is about tonight. Tonight's show is about You Are What You Eat. In previous episodes, I've indicated how I came to be a caregiver. So if you would care to look at the previous episode, you can please do so and listen to what our story is. But in a nutshell, my wife and mother of my three children was injured as a victim of a crime, and from there I wound up being a caregiver along with the rest of the family, and hopefully some of the family will be joining me today. The expression, you are what you eat, is an expression that I remember hearing from my grandparents, my parents, and special attention was paid to what we ate. I can remember that a cola, in a 6.5-ounce bottle per week was an extraordinary treat. An item like a candy bar, Snickers, I remember, and there was one called Mars Bars and so on. These things were not available readily to us. And by design, it wasn't that we didn't have food to eat or that we were too poor to buy these things. It was just the fact that not only were they an indulgence and a treat, but quite frankly, my parents and grandparents didn't think it was good for you. And a lot of studies are finding out that that may be true. What I wanted to talk about today was, and under the title of You Are What You Eat, not only the aspects of good food that you might eat or the settings in which you might find them, but that there is a a social as well as a nutritional benefit to those who are brain injured by involving them with good food and the rituals around. It's really quite simple. So what I want to say is that, you know, you've got someone that's brain injured, and now the tough part really begins, because you're home. You've talked to all the experts. You've heard that. You have had the experience in recovery and the like of following your loved one around. They're in a wheelchair, or they're perhaps not ambulatory at all, and you're following around the dutiful family, and you're sort of kind of smiling, and you're asking questions, and you know, some people have answers and some don't, and a lot of times you'll be told, well, you'll need to ask the doctor about that, or you'll need to talk to the therapist about this, and so you find yourself really, really searching. So I, on my own, thanks to the availability of the internet and not being terribly shy, as anyone who knows me who knows that I'm not a real shy person, I ask an enormous number of questions and also made demands. And so what I found out, and I do want to clarify that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nutritionist. The things that I'm telling you are opinions of mine, and I think that they're best in that regard. And you're going to find yourself in the position that I was at. And I hope that you'll call in tonight and understand that we want to hear from you, those that are in the caregiving situation, or you're suddenly challenged with the caregiving, that I hope that you will consider very, very strongly the importance of good food, nutrition, and the aspects of eating, not only as a sustenance, but as a ritual, in giving the person that you love or that you care for important thing there is, and that is to give them some purpose. Now, what I discovered is that, you know, my wife had been grievously hurt, and she was, previous to the injury, sensitive to sugar levels, though not diabetic or anything like that. Nonetheless, it was a situation in which I found that if she was involved with long periods of work at the shop, and we have a printing business together, had a printing business together, that if she was unable to eat on a regular basis, that she would get a little foggy. And I recall that she was being fed something, and this is the euphemism that it was given. It was through a tube, and it was something that the nurses euphemistically called blue goo, and it was essentially a high fructose corn syrup, cornstarch product, and supposed to have had all of the necessary elements in it, which would keep a body sustained and in good health. And I realized and pointed out to the doctor at the time that if Tanya was being fed, that's my wife, was being fed a diet of high sugar and had never been brain injured, that she would be in a fog anyway. And so based on that, the protocol was changed for her meals to go to more of a protein-based type nutrition, which was available to them, and less sugars. And so we did do that. But then she started to perform better. She was doing better in all of her tasks, and her recovery, I believe, was hastened with that. The other thing that I realized is that, you know, through my own, and as I said, you feel perfectly free to go and do your research on your own. Don't think that I am the know-all to be-all on this. You've got to become involved yourself. So I researched what was out there and what was good for brains and brain activity. One of the things that I discovered, and this was early on, was that the amount of, usually when someone is injured in a brain injury, they also have other injuries going on. And as a precaution, they're often fed a lot of antibiotics or given antibiotics intravenously and the like. And what can happen is if you have a rudimentary understanding of the way food is processed in the body, you'll find that much of the what they call the flora in the intestinal tract is killed off. Now, what this does is, though you eat the food and you chew it and you swallow it, that it does go down into your stomach, and once it's emulsified, it goes into your small and then large intestine. And within that parameter of the body, there are a lot of other things that are living inside you. And I'm not talking about ugly things like you see on television with the monsters inside. I mean, we're talking about the good critters inside you. And in your digestive tract, you have a natural balance of bacteria which are beneficial to you. And by going through a process of having antibiotics administered both orally and as well as intravenously, is that many of the of this flora, as they call it, is killed off. And so what happens is that the food doesn't break down itself. It's broken down by virtue of this flora or good bacteria in your guts. And so a reintroduction of this type of thing is important to you. Now, okay, where do I get a lot of bacteria? Well, we're not talking about licking the floor here or anything insane. What we're talking about is restoring the useful bacteria. One of the easiest ways to get it, or there are two easy ways to get it. One is through active culture yogurt. It's in there. It's not everything you need, but it's in there, and it will help. The second that's available is in pill form, is something called probiotics, and basically they are the type of things that help digest your food. What you want to try and do is to get that intestinal tract and your nutrient and energy absorption systems up to the highest speed that you can as quickly as possible. In other words, don't handicap the person that you're trying to care for by keeping them away from a fully functioning digestive system. So active culture yogurts, good. Okay. Now, there are others that aren't, but there's one called Activia that's advertised quite a little bit, and there's a lovely lady spokesman for the product, and there are other ladies who are championing and say how much better they feel after they have been eating this Activia product. It does help. It does work. The same way with the probiotics, and there are any number of brands out there. I'm not going to indicate one brand over another. The important thing for you is to make access available to them. And, of course, you're going to hear from those that you're giving care to, I don't like yogurt. Okay, you know, then use the pills and mix them in with something that they do like, whether it be applesauce. And I think that my wife has been cured of applesauce because she had to eat so much of it early on when she was injured. And then also the fact is that she figured out that whatever she didn't want to eat otherwise, we were stirring into the applesauce. Okay. Now, keep in mind, too, that heat, for instance, mixing into something you would fry, boil, steam, or whatever, is going to kill this active culture. So it has to be taken pretty much the way it is. So that's why I'm saying yogurt. That's why I'm saying the probiotic pills. They're in little gel caplets many times. Crack them open. Mix them into the applesauce. Or whatever the heck, for that matter, you can, as long as they're not boiled or cooked at a high temp, they're going to live. You can stir them into the mashed potatoes or gravy, I guess, if you wanted to. But, you know, you have the ability to get these into them. Also, you should be talking to your doctor and your nutritionist. One of the things that I did find out early on was that, at least in my experience, and this has been 12 years ago, that this was not something that was a great focus. Now, that may have changed over a period of time so that you may have someone that's very enlightened and understands the importance of nutrition of bringing a person back, okay? And the ideal is, obviously, you'd like somebody at 100%, and maybe the worst they have is a few scars. Well, I mean, it's not going to be always that easy. But, you know, let's give them a leg up as best we can. So, first off, after the injury, obviously, there have been a lot of antibiotics. You've killed off the intestinal flora, which is useful to your digestion and makes the nutrients, the minerals, and the various energies and the like that are available in foods. And, you know, they can't do their job because they're not there anymore, okay? So by reintroducing these along with useful foods, you can bring your the one that you love, the one that you're caregiving for, along farther. And by the way, it won't hurt you either, okay? Second, the food quality. think this is very important for you to understand. Food quality for everyone has become an issue. And what I mean by food quality is that food is not exactly what you thought it was a while ago. It's not the same. Because of the advent of factory-type farming, the high-volume production of grains and the like, and the fact that we keep farming the same chunk of ground year after year after year means that what they used to say in the old times was that the soil was played out. Now, the soil is played out. Now, what I mean by that is that to grow a plant, you only need about three basic nutrients for it. You need nitrogen, you need phosphorus. If you look on a bag of fertilizer, it'll say NPK, and those are the essential three things that a plant needs to look good. Doesn't mean that if it's grown in poor soil or if there's nothing there that it's picked up anything else. As an example, for those of you that are aware of it, there's a aquaculture or hydroponics, which is the growing of creatures like a fish or growing tomatoes or lettuce or whatever in merely a water environment. They will grow. They'll send down roots. They'll take up what they need, and they'll look great. But in that water, there's no magnesium. There's no selenium. There are no essential minerals. It's just what the plant needs to look good and green. So this is important for you to know that where you get your foods and the type of foods that you get are important. Is what you're buying food for there besides calories and carbohydrates and protein? It may not be. What's fascinating for me is having grown up in a farming background was that everything on the farm gets supplemented but the farmer. And what I mean by that is that if you'll go to any place where they're raising chickens, for instance, you'll find that the chickens get a special mixture of food that is, when they're little, it's called a poultry starter. When they get a little bigger, it's the specially prepared chicken foods. And what's in there is all of the essential minerals and the like that are needed for that chicken's health. If you look out into a field where cattle are grazing, you'll oftentimes see a small special feeder, and the cows will go to it and come from it. There'll also be a salt block perhaps laying out in the field. Now, we call it a salt block, but that's a euphemism. It does have salt in it because they need salt, but it also has all these other minerals in it. So my point is that we do everything we can to supplement and feed cows, chickens, pigs, whatever it is that we, critters that we try and grow for food, but the farmer, as my dad used to joke about, is lucky to get a bowl of smoke and a cup of coffee as far as energy. My father was flat out told me he never had so much as a one-a-day vitamin in his life. And based on our experience at the farm, I realized that if you were going to get something well, you don't try and make a cow or a chicken or whatever well after it gets sick or after it's injured. You want to make sure that it's as strong as it can be. Bruno the bull or Bessie the cow can't get cancer. It's just not productive for you. They can't suffer from this, that, or the other. And usually the maladies that they are suffering from, with the exception of using antibiotics in special situations in the past anyway, was never used because of the fact that, you wanted to make sure that everything was in the food that they ate. And likewise, by consuming that type of product, that you would pick up from the meat that was eaten, the different things that you actually needed. So we get to the point of keeping the active culture and the flora of the intestine and the digestive tract in shape, and we bring it back from the point of death. And what I mean by that is death through antibiotics, death through medical treatment, by bringing back these flora and fauna. Okay, the second thing that we do is that we look for the nutrition that's in the food itself. And so by getting the nutrition in there properly, we can look for special foods that we need. Now, one of the things through my study, I found that, you know, there are fatty areas in the body, but in particular, the brain is essentially a big chunk of fat. And so I wanted to try and help rebuild my wife's functioning. And so the important thing was to get her involved in that, you know, so that she wouldn't be an enthusiastic participant. And so I used natural sort of things. What sounds good to you? And staying away from fast food. Steak sounds good. Let's have it. Okay? You can't have steak. At least have hamburger. Okay? Milkshakes sound good. Ice cream, usually that sounds good to most everybody. There's a lot of good stuff in good products of ice cream. And I'm not talking about the artificial kind of stuff that you'll find at fast food. As a matter of fact, I'm going to encourage you to stay away from fast food. The reason being is that it is tasty. It, in my opinion, even is addictive, in that you will always want to go back to it. But you don't necessarily have any there. There's no nutritional value that you really need because it's not in there. The buns grown from are made from wheat that is from wheat fields that have been farmed for years and years and years may not have what you need in it. You know, the so-called honey bun is not really a honey bun. It's a high fructose corn syrup that's brushed on the outside of a bun, and when you bake it, it gets brown easy. So you got these beautiful brown buns that are nice and soft, but they're not necessarily nutritional. And speaking of which, my beautiful bride is on the phone with me, and she's clearing her voice. That is an indicator to me always from Tanya that, by God, I'm here and you're not paying attention. So, hi, sweetheart. How are you doing?
Hi, lover. Hi. And you are absolutely right. I am impatient. I hear you talking about food and blah blah blah, and I'm on here, but I want to make sure you guys get that. Whoever's listening out there, I'm a very impatient person. After the injury, actually, I think I was a little more impatient. I don't know about that, but now I'm impatient and intolerant. So there you go.
Well,
yep.
Honesty's becoming you. Yeah, the nice thing about Tanya coming back from her brain injury was the fact that she couldn't lie, and because of that, some of the social graces that are out there too, like if you ask how do I look, well, what you're going to find is how do you look. You know, you'll know right away how you look. So
darn it, yeah. That lying thing's a tough one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's out the window. So you'll find that when you're trying to get these special foods and nutrients into your family member like I was, is that a lot of times you can meet some resistance. Now, I'm joined also by my daughter tonight, Katiana, and she's on with us as well. And again, our subject is you are what you eat, an old expression used by my family extensively. And so,
is that what the subject is tonight?
I'm glad
you are
you
what you eat.
Mom,
I love you.
I didn't. No wonder he's talking about food so much.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Now, listen. Wait a minute. Listen. If there's anybody out there in the audience, I hope they can understand this. I'm not. When Malin is talking about you are what you eat, that's more like in my future. I'm very lucky. I'm very bad at this, as even remembering to eat. I get a little distracted. I don't want to bother with stopping and, having to eat whatever. I'm supposed to snack, and I'm not good at that either. It's only when I starting to crash a little bit, then I realize I'm supposed to have eaten. So I haven't graduated to you are what you're eating yet thing.
Well, that's why we have the caregiving show, is because the fact that Katiana and I and others around you, and I'm trying to help other people out there that might be listening to this either now or in the future, that this is something that they have to pay peculiar attention to. You know, one of the things, and I'm not on you here or trying to make you distressed, hon, but, you know, I can read when Tanya is needing food. She may be a little sluggish in thought. Even facial expressions tend to change. Not at the same speed that I have come to expect, you know, even an hour or two before. And it can happen suddenly again. Then we get into the getting the good foods and that sort of thing. Now, one of the things that we've done is to, and because of learning about supplementation on the farm at an early age, I've always been fascinated with, you know, how can you best take care of yourself going on in. Now, I'm a lot older than probably anybody that's listening, but the important thing is that for the last 30, 40 years, I've made a point of supplementing myself. And what's really something is about supplementing as far as vitamins and minerals is the what I would call kickback or what's a good word, ladies, that people give to you, like, you know, you're taking all these vitamins, you're taking all these pills, what the hell for? What's the right word, Katiana?
I don't know.
Okay. Ridicule.
The response? I don't know.
I don't know.
Ridicule, I think, is, you know, it's one of those things. They don't do it. You know, it's not like it's not as acceptable as exercise. You say, what do you mean
to
exercise?
No, there's another point. Wait a minute. There's another point to that, is that vitamins, you don't see immediate results. Even in exercise, you see faster results. But with vitamins, you're lucky if you see it 20 years down the road.
Well, here I am several 20 years down the road. So.
Well, now, that is a fact. Malin, whoever's listening, Katiana and I are, but anyway, he's always been kind of regimented. Anyway, about taking vitamins, he's better. And he's pretty darn healthy. He doesn't take any medicine. Well, I do, and I've tried with the vitamins. Again, I'm not disciplined. I don't remember to take that, like today. Haven't taken a single one. Now, sometimes I try to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I want to say.
And we're proud of you.
I think a big issue with this whole conversation, or, you know, the underlying theme for the whole conversation is really about structure. You can take vitamins one day and maybe not another day, and you can exercise, you know, maybe one day and then not exercise for, you know, a couple weeks later or something, and it's not going to have the same effect as if you had a schedule of things. And, you know, there are times when mom has issues and with eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she gets run down, and it's because she hasn't been sticking to a schedule of eating, you know, especially if there's something going on outside of the home where she has to be somewhere that kind of breaks up the whole day. And so the structure that she would normally have at home is lost.
I hope somebody out there is listening to this too. Katiana has just really brought up something that it really touches me deeply. I learned that in the hospital. I mean, they had to reteach me things like this, you know, eat, and these are times, and drink this. I mean, just relearning all that. And for me, having structure, you see, having a structure takes some of the stress off from having to remember, oh, I didn't take my vitamins then. Oh, I forgot, you know. I have to fall into trying to remember, and which is not my strong suit any longer. I don't have the memory that I had. And so, you know, when I was in the hospital, I was taught to try to not so much discipline, because I don't really see that the same, but the structure that Katiana's talking about, it's pretty imperative.
We do things oftentimes for other people than ourselves. What we won't do for us, we'll do for others. As an example, our whole family is really into animals, particularly dogs.
Yeah.
And I know my parents' dogs know exactly what time it is because they get every day at the exact same time. So their biological clock for knowing when it's time to eat is written. People's biological clocks are also very vocal, but a lot of them don't know how to recognize the signs of being hungry or when the body needs to do something.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to understand thirsty because your desire for liquids is pretty noticeable, but then foods, it's kind of tricky because everybody's been doing all sorts of different things and it kind of gets lost in your day trying to take care of yourself.
That's
so
a good point,
Tatiana. So I think it's important to stick to a schedule. You know, if you got to make time for you. You know, it's like when you're driving in your car, nothing is important enough or hardly anything is important enough to go 90 on the highway. You know, it's not necessary risking your safety for something else because, you know, it's important to be there for things, you know, be on time for things, or if there is an emergency to get there, okay, but if there's already an emergency, you getting in another emergency isn't going to help.
True.
So, you know, that's kind of more an extreme case, but, you know, it's the same with food. You know, if you're not in your best condition, best state, then, you know, that there are ramifications for that, even though they might not seem noticeable at that moment.
But she's bringing up a good point because if I get run down like that, and so many, you know, our listeners do, you know, it's normal that you have forgotten maybe to eat or you're skipping something. In my case, if that means you forget to take your medicine just because you weren't really at your, you weren't mentally astute, you know, you were just kind of forgetful, kind of just, not quite with it. Medicines are real critical. So Tatiana was talking about driving, and which is horribly important. You have to be at your best. So is taking your medicine. You've got to remember.
You know, food is necessary for us to survive, and, you know, a lot of times with brain injury, there are other complications that arise with that, such as seizures. And it's pretty important that you take your seizure medicine when it's, you know, twice a day or once a day or whatever your dose is. And if you don't, there are ramifications for not taking your seizure medicine, just like with food. You know, if you don't take your food, which is in a sense medicine,
you're
not
right.
going to be able to perform to the best of your ability.
Well, I think you brought up something that's very, very, very critical for us, and that is that food is not only fuel, but it is medicine as well. By eating well, you can improve and perhaps exceed whatever expectations they may have for you. And I think that you've brought up a very, very, very important point, is that food is not just a pleasure. You know, I mentioned ice cream. It's a pleasure, but at the same time, if your goal is to get a higher fat or energy content, I can't think of a more pleasurable way of doing the right thing. Now, that doesn't mean you go around guzzling milkshakes. I mean, we don't. It's part of the diet as far as ice cream, and you know, it's a high sugar product, obviously, but it also has protein, calcium. We tend to buy because it is a treat, we tend to buy high-quality product, not ice milk or, you know, some of the artificial-type products. You need to be aware and do your own research as to what's good out there. But, you know, and sadly, sometimes even the better brands aren't better-known brands anyway, aren't the better product. And, you know, read your labels. You should become an label reader because it isn't always what you think it is. And the other thing that I think that's so important that Tatiana has brought up is that it is a routine. And once you should establish, get on, and maintain a routine. And eating is part of that. Our focus is you are what you eat. We have breakfast at our house whether you want it or not. Isn't that
true? Yep.
And the reason we do that, and it's the kind of things that we tend to use whenever possible organic products, but the reason that I do that is because it's it's probably going to have a better bioavailability. And what's important to know is whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, is that, you know, if you find yourself eating and wanting to go to sleep, food is fuel.
Yeah.
That's like if you threw more wood on the fire, as an analogy, and it put the fire out, well, there's something wrong with that wood. And you should feel energized. When you start to come down, and Tanya, you've experienced this any number of times where when you're needing food or food as fuel, you start to flag a little bit and that sort of thing. And after having a nutritious type of product, that energy comes back. As an example, we are coffee drinkers, not excessive. I don't drink that much of it. I mean, I drink it, but I use a green tea. And then also use locally produced honey. Now, this is not a show about necessarily, you know, promoting organic foods or locally produced foods or whatever. But basically, if the local people around you are growing it and eating it, and, you know, they're processing it, or whether it's making the steaks or hamburgers, we use a local butcher shop for all of our meats. And the reason we use a local butcher shop is because these people who are still alive after many years of consuming it are still butchering cows and pigs and this type of thing, and it's a good indicator that it's not a bad product because you know they eat it. I mean, you know, the idea of a McDonald's or fast food diet, it's a treat once in a while. But if you're not used to it, as I'm not, and if I go out and have fast food and, from a fast food joint, I won't mention anything, any one in particular, but I don't feel as good after eating as I did before. It's just, there's no there for me, you know? And so I like to stay away from those types of products. When you're out, are you going to have to do that? Sure. Yeah. You know, you can't remove yourself from modern life. I mean, it's very, very difficult to go up and down any normal street in America and find a restaurant that's not a chain-type product. I mean, that you are where you're at. But by making sure that the intestinal tract is able to make the best use of the foods that are put in it through that absorption and keeping the flora and the fauna up, and this is something that you know, I'm saying to you, by taking probiotics or eating active-based yogurts, if that it will be easier for you, that you can maintain some of the essential bacteria and critters that are literally in your gut that help break down these foods and make available whatever is in the foods. So you may not be in a position where you can go out and buy organics or do this. You could think about growing some of your own, you know, and gardening and that sort of thing. But that would be, you know, that would be ideal, but you may not be able to do that. But, Katiana, you brought up the importance of structure. And as a fascinating aside here, the studio that I'm operating from here in beautiful downtown Milton, which, by the way, has been significantly reduced by the loss of one of the main buildings on the corner. So Milton House Hall used to be. But anyway... But they, Matt's preparing this for another show. But anyway, sorry, I got off track, guys. Well, you know, it was a short train and it apparently already passed the station. So
What about structure?
Well, yeah. Let me look at my notes. Okay.
I brought up a good point about structure. Yeah.
Yeah, and that is that not only is it structure, but what is important in terms of establishing some normals for the person that you're caring for, and that is it's normal for us to have breakfast at this time. It's normal to feel tired when you need food, and that's what you need. You don't need a medicine or anything in particular. You don't necessarily maybe need a nap, though you might feel like it, but you might actually need energy so that you can fuel yourself through the day. And the other thing is that the ritual and the actual doing of the preparation of food is something that those who've been brain injured can participate in. And I want to tell you that my beautiful wife has always participated in making meals and the like, but she has as
unfortunately
a skill,
at some time.
Well, she's better now than she used to be.
Hey, I thought I hated spaghetti.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, spaghetti now, I mean, we're trending upward on spaghetti now. Spaghetti's up by 6.5 points. But by having involvement so that Tanya's involved with me in making meals. Tanya's involved with me in setting the table and the timing. She's such that now she knows the time. She asks me, "Are you hungry?" instead of me asking her. And there's a lot of times when I'll ask because the signals get crossed and this type of thing, folks, as you may know. She may not even know that she's hungry.
Yeah, and that happens
this,
a lot.
I mean, it's normal. But it's a normal occurrence with brain injury, but it's not the normal that you can stand as far as the structure. So I involve Tanya in all the things that she can do, and up to and including cooking foods and the like. Always with safety in mind, and I want to tell you something that by virtue of experiment and accident and an extraordinary degree of skill, she makes some of the best chocolate chip cookies and Texas sheet cake that you've ever heard of. And
how are you going to say that?
Yeah, but she's involved, and that's what's important too. Is as I started to say here about Milton and trains passing by again, but. Matt invited me to go to a meeting, and they were talking about depression, and which he's going to cover in our future show. Hope you stay on and listen to that at 10. But there was a researcher, a doctor that has researched depression in traumatic brain injury and head trauma type victims, if you will, and. Several slides presented and the like about, different drugs that they tried to help with the depression and so on. And ironically, Matt's going to cover this in his show, but, the drugs didn't always help, but being involved, a close familial relationship, and most importantly, a purpose in life which they could accomplish, maybe by steps or by leaps, but that helped with depression more than at least the two drugs that they had studied had. And I thought this was fantastic. I mean, getting people involved and giving them a purpose and the like, what could be more purposeful than eating? And so important to be involved. And, I don't know, my structure of my family was such that, mom made dinner, it was ready at a certain time, and you better be ready to eat, and if you missed it, well, you just missed it. And, that's not necessarily, I'm not suggesting that in terms of dealing with the brain injury. However, by setting certain goals, certain parameters, and giving a purpose, it makes life worthwhile, more than taking a pill. What do you guys think?
I'm going to have to say something right now, and that is I'm not, I think, how did I put this? What Malin's talking about is the structure, and as you guys have heard, the structure and trying to take care of yourself. And anyway, and I'm just can only speak for myself, and that is structure's hard for me. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. That's the way that it is. Sometimes I have to pay a price for not remembering when to eat. Or that I haven't eaten, just because I start, slipping, both in my mentally and then physically, I feel like sleeping. Now, having said all that, because you guys have covered that. At this moment, I'm going to say good night, and that's big for me because I don't recognize when I need to do that. When I start kind of. Getting a little tired. I don't recognize that in myself. Unless I'm real, real, real tired. I'm not going to go into any more. You guys, that's boring. I won't.
We had
you
a
don't
big
want to
weekend.
Hear any more of that. What?
We've had a big weekend. This is one of the things. I'm hoping those that are, brain injured can realize that, Tanya and I have had guests over for 3 days. and two different sets of guests. She was a wonderful host, entertained for them, cooked some, attended church and this sort of thing. And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, I'm so proud of you, hon, with your energy and your vitality and the things that you're able to accomplish over the weekend. And I'm glad that you recognize that thou shalt not overdo. So
thank you for the compliment. I want to add one last thing, and that's to my daughter, Katiana. She, too, will be saying, you know, farewell and good night. But, Katiana, you didn't come on this show because you just love to call in talk shows or you want to do this on a Sunday night. For those listening out there, I hope, you know, you have family or good friends that you do touch base with that are part of your lives, because that's all that's important. Katiana, my daughter, has been calling this show because she wants to help. She wants to help me, the brain-injured person, and contribute, of course, to Mail and Show. But if anybody out there can even, I hope, can understand and relate to some of the things that we're talking about, I hope it's touched somebody out there. Again, but my daughter has called because she loves us, not because she wanted to hear, not because she so much wanted to talk to any, call in any late night show on Sunday nights. Honey, Katiana, thank you. Thanks for doing that for me. I appreciate that.
Well, I understand what it's like to go through these types of things, and so for those who haven't been in that situation or have been in it before, sometimes it's nice to, you know, share common ground and share experiences and, you know, as a support for one another.
Yeah.
But you're right. I'm going to have to also get going.
All right.
Bye,
well, guys,
bye,
thanks,
lover.
Thanks for calling. And, you know, I want to tell you that I really appreciate it. And by golly, I'm glad you could call in, and as you guys pointed out, the purpose of this is to give those that are giving care some hope. It's not as bleak or as ugly or as nasty as it seems, and yet it is, but let's make the most of it and do everything that we can to be better. Thanks a lot, guys, for calling in. I appreciate it.
And I hope that somebody out there also doesn't feel quite so alone tonight, because you're not alone. So I hope we touch somebody out there tonight, okay? And for my family, thank you again. Thank you for doing this for me. Thank you.
All right, baby.
Good night.
See you later. All right, good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
You leaving too, sweetheart?
Yes.
Okay. You take care.
Thank you, lover. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right. So there we go. You've heard from the family, and so you understand the kind of support that's out there and the kind of structure that we've tried to build for those that are brain injured. And as I said, this show is called You Are What You Eat, and I'm going to get into some of the more, the aspects of it. We've talked about the ability to restore your body to the point where it can bioabsorb the food and fuel that you're throwing into it. Okay, and that was through the active yogurt cultures, the probiotics, and that sort of thing. And the reason is because the most of the brain-injured folks have been in a situation where they've had powerful antibiotics either orally or intravenously, and so this has caused the intestinal flora to die off, and so you can't absorb the food. The second is to get the kind of quality that you want for the nutrition. Try and buy the best foods that you can. And you know, I guess I'm going to give some caveats out here. Is it, you know, what you want is highly absorbable types of food. For instance, saturated fats are highly absorbable. Things like using coconut oil as a cooking method, excellent idea. Oils and fats that are available, anything that basically turns to liquid or an oil with the warmth of your hand. Butter is an example. We use butter and not the margarines, not the Criscos, not these type of things for our cooking and buttering of our toast. When you see something that buttery like spread, well, it's it's not so good. I don't enjoy the taste of it, and the fact that it won't melt and room temperature is a kind of a good way that probably won't melt or help your body either. It's not one of those things you can eat. The natural oils, palm oil, coconut oil, even lards and these type of things. And I know that you're told, oh, these aren't good for you, okay? Well, a few years ago, if you'll remember, we weren't supposed to eat butter because it was bad for you. Well, now guess what? Butter's back in vogue, okay? Because they're finding out that types of fats that are used in these type of products, hey, they might be bad for you. Well, you know, the product called Oleo, which became every one of the margarine types of spreads, was an invention came out of World War II, and it was invented at a time when all of the energy type foods like butter needed to be directed toward troops who were fighting overseas. You could get butter in the Army in Europe. You couldn't get butter here in the United States because it was being sent over because of the energy that was provided for that. As an example, the other things as far as we've talked about the meats and this type of thing, look at what you're eating. Be careful with those things that you have and that you are putting into your body. You want to carefully read the labels and see what's there. The second thing is suggest that you look at is the energy that's available in foods. Now, the idea of eating a candy bar and feeling better might appeal to you. You've seen this in diabetic situations as well. But I would suggest that going with a snack of an apple, a pear, a peach, strawberries, something that have a readily available type of sugar in them, and we pretty rigorously avoid things like high fructose corn syrup. If you care to go out and study, and like I said, not a doctor, not a nutritionist, this is all my opinion, but go study what high fructose corn syrup and how it's absorbed and how it's changed in the body. Also, as far as any kind of diet drinks that you might be looking at, okay? When we're talking about sugar, you say, well, I've got a weight issue. Okay, so you want to go to, a zero product or a low-calorie product. Please, by all means, avoid any kind of artificial sweeteners. And the reason that I say that is because chemically they taste sweet to the tongue, but the way the body processes them and eliminates them, and as I said, you go look up this information and ask yourself if you really want to be eating something like aspartame or NutraSweet. I'm sure it's a fine product for whatever it was originally developed for, but as far as actually being good for the body, not so much, okay? The other thing to look into for the folks that you're out there with is a protein environment. You want to get good quality foods that are high in proteins. And, if you're going to eat something, make sure that you're at least getting what you pay for. You know, a lot of products are all about the flavoring, which is a wonderful thing in case of the brain injured to flavor things like eggs, which maybe are not wished to be eaten, or, grains and this type of thing, or, that you can add seasonings to them or whatever that make them taste better, soups or so on. But at the same time, there are a lot of products that are out there, and I joke about this, that if properly seasoned, you could eat a paper towel. But it's not any good for you because you're not set up to digest cellulose, which is the bulk of what paper is made of. Your body is not set up to do that. You could season it up to the point where it seemed attractive, but you're not going to get anything out of it. And the same way with many of the foods that you consume. In other words, when getting into the structure and ritual and the purpose of eating, I think that you need to establish too and be consistent on this, that there are times for treats or things that you might want to have that are truly indulgent, and then getting structure within your family and with your injured one, so that they know that food is for fuel, food is for health, food is for life, and it's not necessarily an indulgent pleasure. The idea of becoming better is not to get one's weight up to a point where you're no longer able to move around, or that you're embarrassed by it, or that you can't do anything about it, or to create other triggers where you get into issues like diabetes and these type of things. The other thing, and going back to a point that I made a lot earlier, and that was about the idea of supplementation. As I said, I came up with I grew up in a farming environment where everything on the farm gets supplemented but the farmer. And so I want you to seriously take a look at getting vitamins and minerals into your diet, so that and into those that you care for's diet, and the purpose of which is that you will have much better health by getting those things that you need, as opposed to filling a void or a crave. There's a fascinating thing that you should look up out there, and it's something called pica, P-I-C-A. Pica is a situation in which people eat unusual things because they crave things. Matter of fact, there's one restaurant chain, and they actually use the motto, the crave. Okay, well, when you're craving things like this, what it means is you're hungry for it. You're hungry for something that you're not getting somewhere else. In other words, you're eating empty calories. You're getting some energy out of it, and you may be getting some protein out of it, but you're not getting any of the essential type of nutrients that you need to actually satisfy the body's real needs. And so you'll find that, you know, and if you find this with the caregiver or yourself, that you're doing a refrigerator raid, you know, you should know that, based on my research, that you are craving something that you're not getting in your regular diet. And oftentimes the body will go for things that please it, sweet or salty. You know, if you find yourself eating an entire bag of potato chips, you're actually missing essential vitamins and nutrients, which are causing you to do that. Again, my research. Don't believe me? Go ahead and do it yourself. I'd be happy for you to. So I want you to look at these things as far as nutrition, energy, ritual, purpose, and structure, as Katiana had pointed out. You have to look at these essential areas of your life so that you can bring the one that you care about back to the level that they might best enjoy. And the other thing is, I want to say this is for you, okay? You, the caregiver, here you are, you're put in this situation, you didn't ask for it, you can't afford it, it's taxing, and if you are not in the most tip-top shape that you can be, both mentally and physically, you may find it too much for yourself, and you both let down yourself and those that you care for. So I want you to do some research. I want you to go out and look. And as I said, you don't have to believe me. It's okay. But I do want you to know that, you know, for those of you that were listening earlier, you heard Tanya talking. Now, Tanya came from a situation where she couldn't speak, had to be taught to speak again, to write again, all those things that you may have experienced yourself. And it's horrific, but you heard how well she is now. And the kind of strength and endurance she has. I mean, she's been going all this last week, and then we had guests over for three days, and that's an enormous burden if you think about it, and both psychologically and physically she's up to it. But then again, you know, and we get into the sleep and the rest, and Tanya is cognizant of where she's at. You know, I'm accepting of the amount of energy that she can put out and the amount of energy that she takes in. And when she's truly tired and it's time for it, like now in the evening here as we close out Sunday, that it's okay. You had a big day. Somebody needs to sleep. And that would be the both of you, actually. So please look at your foods. Let's go to the you are what you eat type of topic. I want you to make a few notes, if you will, okay? Am I reading the labels before I buy anything? If you're not reading the labels and looking what's on there, more often than not, you'll see a thing come up and it's high fructose corn syrup, modified corn starch, and so on. And, you know, God bless the farmers for their productivity that's out there. But these are things that are more meaningful to cattle and sheep and hogs than they are to you. And they're the kind of items that are used to fatten, believe it or not, critters on the farm. And they pour it to them. So look at your label. See what's in it. And I want you to use this as a basic rule and guide is when you go through the store. If it wasn't a food a century ago, it's not a food now. It's very simple. Now, some of you may say, well, this is kind of like the paleo diet and all that, which I've heard mentioned, and though I have not researched, but basically going back to eating like a caveman. But, you know, look at what you're getting. Look at what you've got. And read the labels. Also, look at your sources. Where is it coming from? Is it produced domestically? Is it produced overseas? As an example, when I was younger, thanks to transportation and the like, you can get crops that normally are, quote, out of season. You can get them all around the year. But where are they coming from? That's the question. You know, where are they being grown? Under what conditions? With what? How are they fertilized and so on? Shrimp, as an example, used to be available normally during certain months of the year, and they were coming from the Gulf of Mexico. And now, and they were quite expensive, by the way, and you could quickly run up quite a bill if you wanted to eat very many shrimp. And now they're available, and I see them advertised in fast food and other areas where you can get 20 shrimp and so on. These are being grown in ponds overseas, and they are being fed things that they're being fed all kinds of wastes, and they're bottom feeders. They eat you're getting some ugly stuff here, folks. You know, look at what you're getting and where you're getting it from. Oftentimes you can find local markets and that sort of thing where you can find out that they're locally grown foods. If you get a chance, trust me, it's a lot cheaper to buy good food than it is to visit the doctor once a month. You know, that office visit is pretty expensive. Eating well, you're going to eat anyway. And so look at your source of foods and read the labels, okay? The second thing is that, you know, to establish a nutritional baseline for yourself. You've heard me mention the yogurt and the probiotics any number of times, and I can't tell you how important that is because of the fact that it is important. The fact is that if you can eat all that you want of something but yet not get it. Let's say that you're short on iron, okay? Well, absorbable iron is of one kind. A nail is iron as well. You could eat nails and washers all that you wanted, assuming you could get them down and pass them, but structural iron is not absorbable iron. You need iron like that would come from beans, tomatoes, things that naturally pull up iron out of the soil and pass them on to you. Take a look at these things, you know, if you're iron poor or whatever. Same way with calcium. No problem with looking at calcium from the purpose of getting calcium in your diet through milks, egg. Sources where you would expect them to be, in milk, for instance. Oftentimes, they supplement breads and the like, or milk, and even I've seen orange juice with calcium added. But look at what calcium they're adding. You can eat a piece of chalk, and it's calcium, but you're not set up to digest it. I can assure you that within a few days, you'll be able to rediscover it elsewhere as a piece of chalk. It's not bioavailable. So look at your bioavailability. This is critical and important. You eat things and supplement with things that are actually bioavailable or available to your body. And, you know, look at the bioavailability, and I know that's a big word, basically, is that you can use it, and if you got it in another way, you can't, okay? So, iron as its certain way as a nail or as a washer, no good. Iron as a bioavailable form, and again, I want you to do some research, good. calcium as chalk. Yeah, it's calcium. You've heard of Tums. Settles the tummy, you know. But it's not a bioavailable type of form. What its purpose is to reduce the acid content of your stomach or to slow it down by neutralizing it. Again, you need a fairly high acid to, you know, cause digestion. That's the purpose of your stomach making these powerful acids, is to break down food into a form that's available to the flora in your intestine so that it can, you know, pass on through and actually be used and absorbed. So bioavailability, read the labels, okay, and then sourcing your foods. And if you do get a chance to once in a while have a treat, not a problem. But the other is that take a look at supplementing yourself. And this is one where you may involve a nutritionist or your doctor. And I do want to say this. If your doctor says, well, if you're eating, you're getting what you need, consult another doctor. And the reason I say that is because nutrition is not necessarily much of a part of the structure or training. There is no one going around buying lunches and bringing food in and putting on presentations from any company that I know of encouraging nutrition by eating healthy foods. On the other hand, pharmaceutical companies do come in and put on different things and engage doctors and researchers and the like in terms of what, you know, if you'll prescribe this drug. And the reason is there's an enormous amount of money in that. Again, I'm not encouraging anybody to drop treatment with their drugs, but at the same time, if you're eating and living right, you may not need as many. You may not need some at all. And then in the terms of the process itself and enjoying the meal, enjoying what you're doing, the family and friends, all of us pretty much have experienced the joy of Christmas dinner. We can remember back when, or we can remember a special Easter dinner or Thanksgiving or that time we got together, okay? These are memory enhancers and changers. It gives a chance for those who are brain injured to actually be involved, to have purpose, to have companionship, and to feel normal for a while because we're all there eating. Now, some of us may be a little sloppier than others. I include myself in that. But, you know, at least you've got the structure there and the memories. These are things that you'll tend to remember as opposed to instantly discard. So look at all the things that you do around food. The "you are what you eat" type of comment that I'm mentioning here is that you are what you eat, what you experience, and how you feel when all these things are going on. It's very, very, very important and even critical. So I'm hoping here in a future episode, we're doing this every 2 weeks on a Sunday evening at this time, to actually involve someone from the vitamin supplement nutrition area and to bring them on as a guest so that they can talk to you and talk to me about the importance of good nutrition and brain health. I've had a number of people that have been very, very helpful to me. You know, this is all designed so that you can take some of the stress off of you in life. You've been handed a big plate of poo. The excrement has hit the air handling device. And now what do you do? And unfortunately, a lot of us fret and are troubled and struggle with the situation that we're in. And I'm hoping that by hearing what my family has done in terms of bringing ourselves back from the brink of a horrible situation will be helpful to you. That's why I'm here. I can assure you there's no money in it, but I'm often asked, you know, how do you do it? And so that's what the purpose of this program on every other Saturday night or Sunday night is for. And I hope that you'll join us. I hope that this will be of help to you and that in some way it's been an enormous improvement. So start finding out where your food's grown locally if you can. Maybe you'll consider even, hey, radical thought, but it doesn't take very much room, of actually having a garden of your own The reason being is that it brings back the connection and the idea of food and its source. Now, not many of us are blessed, like I still am, to have sufficient area to have critters and grow and raise all your own food if you want to. And I don't right now, but that's the goal. But by involving those that are brain injured in simple things like planting seeds and having a small garden, tending to it, seeing where the food comes from, I can assure you that if you spend a lot of time, work, and effort in getting the food to the table, you are a lot less likely to waste it. I can assure you that. I work pretty hard to get that tomato into the house, and I'm not going to let it slip away. I'm going to use it fully. Okay, the green beans, things that are easy to do. Consider growing some of your own food. You know, I have the soil tested and this type of thing. It's actually fairly easy to do through your local extension offices and find out what is in your soil. You know, what's there? What do you need? You know, what's a good crop for me? It's food as form and function and as structure. You know, you have to take care of the garden. You can't just throw the seeds out there and come back, 90 days later and you've got tomatoes. It doesn't work that way. It's something that you have to involve yourself with, and I hope that you'll consider doing that. This is not a gardening show. I mean, you can go elsewhere for that, but, you know, consider doing it from the point of view of the structure, the form, and the routine. You know, if you have to go out and do something every day just to get a tomato, that's a big deal. You know, I mean, you learn not to waste, that's for sure. And as I said, seek out nutritionists, health food stores, this type of thing. Remember, and this is a caveat, everybody wants to sell you something, okay? Most things aren't that expensive, but sometimes people change the name of them and give them a fancy name or whatever, and they charge you a lot more than it's worth. You don't have to do that. You know, if you need particular types of minerals, vitamins, or supplements, they are available and usually fairly inexpensively. And oftentimes the doses that are listed on there, what they do normally list is the FDA requirements of basically keeping yourself at a very, very, very low level healthy. You may or may not want to increase the amount of vitamins, minerals, and supplements that you get, whether minerals, you know, that are out there and so on. And some you have to, you know, you have to educate yourself. But this is part of your caregiving because you're trying to make the best of the life that's been handed back to you. I want to start to finish up here with something that we became aware of today, and that was that dear friend of our extended family thought he was just a little sick and had been in the hospital, thought he had pneumonia. And when the doctor came in yesterday, told him that he thought he was going to get to go home and that everything would be cool, a little treatment and all that, and he'd be fine. What he discovered is that he has a cancer, that the cancer has spread to several locations in his body. And when he asked about the treatment, he was told that he's too far gone and that they gave him a week. His name is Bailey. And I hope that tonight, as you say your prayers, if you do, or if you have good thoughts, that you'll have a prayer for Bailey because this is his last week. So as I asked today in church, it's my blessing to help with communion, and I asked the congregants there, I said, what if you were given a definitive time that you could live? Only 1 week, 7 days, 6 days, 23 hours, and 59 minutes, because we just lost a minute. 6 days. 53, and so on. You had a countdown clock. How would you contact those friends, neighbors, and relatives? Would you treat people differently for a week knowing that this was it, that the countdown clock had commenced? There was no turning back. You have a week. What would you do? I hope that you will think about this as you go about your caregiving. Obviously, you're not on this countdown clock, but you're on a countdown clock of some time. As I joke about it, you know, we're all nearing the end of the checkout line, no matter where we're at. And I want you to think about how you'd spend your life. I've been to be around wonderful people like the upcoming host, Matt Duffin, who has taken his life and dedicated to brain injured, and Craig Cecilia and Ms. Justice, the others that are out here on Brain Injury Radio who decided to, not knowing what their countdown clock is, have decided to make the most of the time that they've been given. So I'm hoping that you will consider doing that too tonight. Start now. Pretend that you had a week. Now, don't spend all your money. That's crazy. But how would you treat other people? Would you tell them, you know, hey, this is a good idea and that's not a good idea? I did that. I been there, done that, so to speak. And how would you act? So tonight, wherever you're at, if you're listening 2 weeks from now, Bailey is probably no longer with us. But I want you to think about, you know, how would I treat people? What's my purpose? And it kind of brings into perspective the idea here tonight of you are what you eat, but you're also what you do. How are you going to spend that time? Am I going to make the most of it? How do I want to be remembered? What do I want to be remembered for? Maybe it'll be for the great chicken and dumplings you make, or it might be for, in my beautiful bride's case, chocolate chip cookies that can't be bought anywhere, in Texas sheet cake like no other. You know, a warm and wonderful smile, a great companion, somebody that I feel a sense of accomplishment when I'm around, because, you know what, I didn't do it, but I helped. So let's make the most of all this, okay? Let's try and do everything that we can while we can, because you know what, it's important. Let's not waste any more time, okay, guys? Well, I tell you what, I'm going to end the show a little bit early here. It's a few minutes to go. But I want to thank all of you for listening, either now or later. And prayers to everybody. Best of luck. Eat well. Live long. I want you to do the best you can, okay? It's Malin Whitaker from downtown Milton. I hope you'll stay tuned for Matt Duffin and the upcoming show on Brain Injury Radio here. And I hope that you'll keep listening. And also, tell people that we're out there, okay? It's important, because we know that a lot of folks are out there. They're hurting. They need help, and that's what we're trying to do here. Matt's making the most of his life being on the radio along with these other hosts, and by God, I hope you'll support him in every way you can. Talk about him, Facebook him, Twitter about it, whatever the heck you got to do. But let's get the word out there and get our listenership where it needs to be and get the help to those that need it.
Hang out with me. You thought Friday was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think I may.
You ever sit amongst people like that?
No, it's incredible, Matt. It was incredible. Thank you for inviting me up there. It was kind of like the meeting of doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, but the lawyers are missing.
They put me right in the middle.
Yep, and Matt was there. He recorded the presentation for you, a fantastic presentation on depression, traumatic brain injury, and what they call major depressive episodes, MDEs, I think it was called. And so, yeah, 15-year study included some talk about the the drugs and that sort of thing that they've tested. And a fascinating thing, like I said, is that I think Matt did more to help people's spirits going around that hospital ward where people were being retrained to move and walk and that sort of stuff, by giving them words of encouragement and saying, hey, look at me. I know Matt's on the radio and it's hard to relate to how he is one-to-one with people, but he is very, very encouraging of those out there. He's encouraging caregivers like myself, which is why I'm on. And he's extraordinarily encouraging and inspirational to those that have been hurt. God bless you all. We're going to shut her down. Okay? You take care. I'm trying, and it's not working. So there we go. Bye, guys. Love you all. Prayers to you. Bye.